government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence with Vince, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Evident Footprints. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and we will be here tonight with some very interesting topics discussed with tonight's special guest. And I want to welcome everyone who is now into December 7th. Those of you following behind in December 6th will make note of my special request during this week for us to pray for scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, teacher, Jim Murray, who went to the hospital with an emergency. And it was a pretty serious event, and a prayer just came from all over the world via email, phone calls, and by word of mouth. And I have a report tonight that Jim, or I should say this morning, because if you're in the East Coast, it is morning now. I should say that Jim reported to me that he's feeling very well, and the problem he had has just about completely subsided. And I would like to thank all of those out there, especially those that are experts at taking care of our health in their professional capacity, for the wonderful care that Jim got. And that includes the doctors, the nurses, and some very unique specialists. And I want to give them credit as well. That shows the power of prayer, and we can rejoice that we have helped a very, very important person make it through a very tough time. And it underscores what I've been saying for some time on Evident Footprints, and recently here, because this is just my second week at BBS Radio, but it's a common message that I've heard, in that we need to talk to God, and we need to find ourselves, our true selves, and escape this matrix that they've basically netted us in. We're in a big net, and you know, we have the scissors to cut open that net and swim out if we want to. So I want to thank everyone that prayed for Jim Murray. Very positive report, and he will be on the show tomorrow night, which is a miracle in and of itself. So we thank God for that, and I thank all of the listeners who sent emails, phone calls, and best wishes to Jim. With that, tonight I want to bring a man who's been on the show before. He's got a lot to talk about, and that's why he's back again tonight. He has one of the most visited websites in the world, definitely in the United States. He gets millions of hits on his website per month. He is an author, a historian, a journalist, a researcher, knows quite a bit about a lot of topics, and we're fortunate to have him with us tonight. His name is Ken Adachi. Welcome to Evident Footprints. Ken, how are you?
Oh, thank you, Don. I'm very well.
Isn't that wonderful news about Jim?
I'm very happy to hear that. I didn't know he was in such a close situation, so the fact that he's been able to surmount whatever difficulty he had and can actually appear tomorrow, that's really remarkable.
Yeah, well, I'm obviously allowing him his privacy in disclosing what the issue is. He may decide that he wants to share that with the audience. I don't know, but it doesn't really matter. You know, if you need healing and you pray for healing, you should get it. There's no reason why. Yeah, we went about it correctly. We kept in step with universal law, let's say. And
yeah.
And because of that, in our faith, you know, we were able to help that about.
Yes. Wonderful.
Ken, you are working on a number of stories, I know, and they're stories that have touched you very deeply. And rather than say, well, I want to talk about this tonight, I want to talk about that, I wanted to leave it up to you to communicate what's on your heart or what you feel in your spirit that you want to get out, what message that the folks should be hearing tonight.
Well, there are many subjects that we could talk about, and I think with this second opportunity to talk with you over this show, I'd like to talk about the fact that many people send me email in which they ask this question: what can I do? Referring to the gathering storm, if you will, of the New World Order agenda. It's obviously accelerated in the last 10 years or so. If you imagine how the state of affairs we had in 1997, for instance, versus what we are facing today, we're in a much more precarious situation in terms of the agenda, let's say, of Big Brother. And the war in Iraq is just a minor part of a larger story. We've had a far greater imposition on our liberties, and we no longer enjoy the degree of privacy which we had just 10 years ago. And, of course, we were in a far safer position 10 years before that, in 1987. Who would have thought that we would have lost as much ground in terms of constitutional guarantees that we now face today? So I want to talk about the idea of what we can do to thwart the agenda. And many people do not realize the power that they have within themselves. And what I mean by that is that the majority of us see ourselves as victims of circumstances. The New World Order forces project themselves, obviously, through the government, through law enforcement, through the military. They project themselves as all-powerful, and the citizenry is the smallest force to contend, is the smallest force to contend with. And now that we've learned in the last two presidential elections that elections can clearly be stolen now because of the advent of electronic voting, we know that the votes can be changed. There's many instances in which people who did vote in both of those elections saw the screen change their vote while they're still in the voting booth when they're using electronic voting machines. So we know elections can be stolen now. So we, A, need to insist on the local level that we need to insist on the paper ballot. That is one way to hold on to and regain the constitutional liberties which have been jeopardized in the last decade or so. That's one thing people should think about. They should be completely sure of the reality that elections are utterly stealable now because of the electronic voting machine. And all the hype and all the rhetoric they've put out in the last 7 or 8 years, assuring us that this is completely multi-layers of security, is nonsense. There's no such thing as a secure electronic vote. And it's been proven time and time again that we don't have a paper trail. We don't have access to the software that's used for the programming, just private corporations like Diebold hold that information. Now, beyond that, we need to recognize that most of the individuals who are in the Congress, in the executive and even in the judicial branch are not working for the people any longer. We need to recognize that. There's, you know, there's a mere handful that are still loyal to the Constitution, at least to the, have said and done things in a public way that have made it clear that they are perfectly aware of what's of the game afoot. And we need to recognize that as well, that that on the federal level, the majority of Congress is no longer working for the people. As you said in a talk that you gave a couple nights ago, is that they are now wedded, they are beholden to, they are blackmailed, they are owned and controlled by vested interest. And that vested interest is moving towards a one-world government, New World Order, and we have to recognize that. Everything that is offered to the public in terms of justifications for these, our loss of privacy, for the loss of habeas corpus, for the loss of freedom from ID tracking, biometric impositions on our identity, the call for a national ID card, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is Big Brother expanding, and if we allow it to continue, we will no longer have any liberties. We will no longer have. We're living in a country that is under the aegis of a constitution and a Bill of Rights. We must protect this, because once we allow these schemers, these liars, these deceptionists to railroad through changes in the law that eviscerate our constitutional guarantees, then we're really in big trouble. This is exactly the play that the drama that occurred in Germany in the 1930s, where I even heard on NPR radio the very word enabling law, referring to laws that are being passed in other countries, are a copy of the enabling law that gave Hitler dictatorial power in Germany. And we have to not allow this to occur. So it's futile to attempt to work with the existing crop of the majority in Congress, because they're traitors for the most part. They're working against the interests of the people and the Constitution. And so we have to try to come up with candidates who are loyal to the Constitution. And that's something that should be on everyone's mind. If they're going to vote, if they're going to vote for the current crop, with a few exceptions, on the presidential level, you have Ron Paul and Dennis Kucinich, who are at least two men who have made it clear that they still believe in the Constitution and the need to retain the Constitution. Everyone else is a talking out of both sides of their mouth, duplicitous, deceptionist, who is using empty rhetoric, devoid of meaning, to try to hoodwink and snooker the public into believing that they're actually going to represent their interest in the next presidential election. It's not going to happen. So if enough people can recognize this and stop talking about you know, the comments that Mitt Romney makes versus Obama versus Hillary, all of those individuals are working towards a new world order, and they're just deceptionists. So on the political front, I believe in the need to vote. Some people reject the notion of the vote, but that is the only key that we have to retain the power in the hands of the people, and we're losing it. We're losing it fast. All the crisis events that have occurred in the United States in the last 20 or 30 years, and I'm obviously talking about 9/11, but earlier events that happened in the 90s, the first World Trade attack in 1993, the Murrah building bombing in Oklahoma City. These events are all orchestrated. I know you know that, Don, but the entire American public must wake up to the fact that there were inside jobs, orchestrated events, to be used as a ruse or an excuse for pushing forward the Big Brother agenda, which means a loss of personal liberty in every single category, and a inability to decide our own destiny, because once the Constitution is eviscerated, then we are at the mercy of the state, in much the same way that the German people were at the mercy of the state after Hitler used the ruse of the Reichstag fire to pass the enabling law, which essentially bypassed the German legislature completely, and that any law that Hitler decided to pass became the law of the land. You can see our current president has been moving in that direction for most of his administration. So I think we should make an effort to get up a loyal to the Constitution candidate to run on all levels of office. Now, I doubt that will have a huge impact on the presidential election in 2008, because the die has been set by the Illuminati, by the Bilderbergers, by the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, all the New World Order groups that decide on our fate. I think the cast has already been made that they made the decision Hillary is going to be president. And
we know the Bilderbergers made that decision months ago before this campaign started. That news leaked out.
I wasn't aware of that, but I was making a projection just based on what I'm seeing and hearing on the radio and TV. There is such a disproportionate push for Hillary in terms of interview shows and in terms of the treatment she gets at the debates, which are just plays, as you mentioned in an essay a couple of days ago. And I just thought, when you have that much money behind you, apparently, I'm telling myself, for a while I thought they were actually focusing on Obama. I thought they were elevating him so much in the beginning. If you look at Obama's career, here is a man who is a junior senator. He just was elected to the Senate in 2006. And 2 years later, he's running for the President of the United States? This is insane. Yet, that's exactly Pardon?
I was saying, they don't intend for him to win. He's there to split up the vote, to create these paradigms of this candidate's good, this one's bad. They haven't begun to bring the dirt out yet, for one thing.
Yes.
And their intent is to create confusion, to create fear, to appear to appease to all these divided groups. If you look at each candidate, you can identify a group that follows each candidate that does not follow the other candidates. For instance, Mitt Romney is going to have all the Mormons following him. Hillary Clinton's going to have a certain amount of the black population, but they split the black population up by running Obama.
Yes.
What the people don't know is Obama's ties to the Mossad. What they don't know about Hillary Clinton is her ties to the CIA and Bill Clinton's ties to the CIA, and that these people have handlers, and that these people are embezzling trillions of dollars, and the proof has already been out there for a number of years. She's got a scandal going on in California right now with Peter Paul accepting $1 million to her campaign from this one individual. She committed a felony on videotape. He's got it posted on Google. I have the link on my website to this. I mean, and nothing's being done about it. So they're creating confusion. They're creating this false sense of security, this false sense of hope, this promise that one of these candidates is going to save the current devastation that's underway of the United States, and that you are going to have a voice, you're going to be able to vote, and they're doing it subliminally with fear. Fear is the underlying current to all of this.
Yep.
Fear of what might happen if. So I didn't mean to interrupt you. It's my perception on really what's going on. You hit the nail on the head, Ken, when you said that we have to come to a realization as to what's going on, and that is our own self-sovereignty, our consciousness, and our power as a nation, as a mass of people. There are a lot more of us than there are of them.
Yes.
And these laws that they're creating are for their own purposes. They're not in line with the Constitution.
Yes.
And their acts are criminal. They have proven themselves over and over to be criminals. They've proven, as well as the media, that they can be bribed, that they can be coerced, that they can violate the law, the very laws that they create. So why do we pay attention? Why do we give them credence for that? They need to be rounded up.
Yes.
And they need to be indicted. I hear this word impeachment. No, they need to be indicted and incarcerated.
Yep.
For starters.
Yep.
Okay, now I'm done. You go ahead.
Well, I mean, that is the just, the appropriate way to handle these individuals who, beyond engaging in conduct which is clearly treasonous in many instances, they are responsible for many, many crimes, and they've managed to cover up and smother and stop investigations that would have otherwise taken place, and they use a standard technique for aborting an investigation. They simply kill off the people involved in working on the investigation. If you can recall the government trial that followed the attack on Waco, the government attack on Waco, there was numerous individuals that was able to obtain information or witness things. There was police officials who witnessed things that made it clear that there was a unjustified assault on the people in that compound in many ways. And I can recall that there was to be an expert who was going to give testimony at the trial. He was an expert on FLIR photography. This is this infrared photography in which they were able to capture the images of rockets and other deadly projectiles being shot into the compound from helicopters and the like. And, of course, never reported on the news, denied by the government, denied by the FBI, BATF, etc. But the FLIR video analysis proved that this had taken place. And there was an expert in this regard who had the courage to testify against the government, and he, like many people in that case, there was sheriffs, individuals, there was policemen, deputies, etc., who had witnessed things that who all died before the trial took place. So they can arrange for a suicide, they can arrange for an apparent heart attack. They can arrange for many ways for a person to die when they can't have them embarrassing the cover story. And I remember hearing on the radio, I was driving after the Waco trial completed, that the government was exonerated of all suspicion of underhanded doings, etc. Well, they killed most of the important witnesses that would have caused the trial to go the other way. So we're dealing with a very dark cast of characters, and they will stop at nothing to prevent themselves from being exposed or indicted. I believe if enough people wake up to the degree of the deception, meaning that the majority of Congress is in bed with the New World Order, the Pentagon is in bed with the New World Order, the executive is surely a guiding hand in bringing about the destruction of the United States. I've said that, I've put it that way from the beginning, and I'm not the one who originated the thought, but we must recognize that people who have the greatest power in this country are steering the country intentionally into destruction, because their allegiance is to the New World Order, which means the corporate empire around the world that are working in cahoots to eliminate all national borders. They want a one world government under their control, of course. So that's why we have a European Union, is because they are relentlessly marching towards this dissolution of borders. So now you can get on a Euro rail pass in Europe, go from country to country. I'm not sure you even have to take out a passport anymore. Once you're on Eurorail, you can zip all around Europe, no problem. And they instituted the Euro, when was it, around 2001, something like that. And that currency is only 6 years old. Now it's stronger than the U.S. dollar. And they've already introduced the Amero as a commemorative coin here in America, but it will eventually replace the Federal Reserve note, because they've now are at a stage in their plan, in their script, this script written long ago, to inflate the dollar so severely that people will be left with the option of converting their currency over to the Amero. And the Amero, just as the Euro in Europe, will be artificially elevated so that you have more buying power with it. And therefore, people will willingly surrender to the use of the Amero, because the U.S., the Federal Reserve note, will have a less and less buying power. Now, there was a time, two or three or four years ago, when I thought, I felt for sure they were going to crash the Federal Reserve note, which is fiat currency, as you well know. There's nothing behind it. When I was a kid, when I was younger, we still had gold in Fort Knox, and I do remember we had silver certificates. I remember notes, bills, that said it was redeemable by, you know, $5 worth of silver. At least there was and of course, prior to Nixon abandoning the gold standard, we at least had the nominal of backing of the gold in Fort Knox behind the currency. So the currency had something to mortgage it, let's say, or we had some true collateral behind the paper. We had gold. But the Illuminati had long ago removed the gold from Fort Knox. Who knows where it is?
It's stolen, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And I remember I've read articles that indicate there was these secret flights out of New York. I was told to Russia, to other points outside the U.S. in which that's where our Fort Knox gold went. I don't know for sure, but I know it's not in Fort Knox anymore, and there's really no adequate explanation for it not being there, other than it was surreptitiously, quietly stolen.
Well, so that there are some documents, Ken, there that describe in detail that there are islands around the world, there are various points around the world where they have hidden this gold in sunken ships, underground bases or caves, and there's a paper trail as well.
Yes.
The paper trail is in Switzerland. The paper trail is in Indonesia and Cambodia. The paper trail is in the Philippines. Now, it's also, you're going to find it in China. You're going to find it in Russia, like you mentioned, and probably in Paraguay, I would venture a guess.
Because of the Nazi connection.
Go ahead.
Good. I was going to mention Marcos in the Philippines. I remember reading some years ago, there is some story connected with gold and Marcos in the U.S. government, and I wonder if he isn't a part of the, let's call it cash, or the stashing mechanism that was employed to hide our gold. There is a story there that Marcos was sitting on gold, and it wasn't his gold.
Well, it's in the fourth largest bank. It's in the fourth largest bank in the Philippines, which is now a government-controlled bank. Mm. And there are 1934 gold certificates in that bank.
Oh, that's it. That's right. Gold certificates.
And
that's right.
You know what? Do you find it a bit perplexing that Marcos, when he fled the Philippines and he had all this, suitcases filled with cash was the story that they were saying.
Mm-hmm.
And he fled to Hawaii. But Imelda had a trial in New York. In fact, the attorney Jerry Spence, if I recall correctly, represented
yes,
her.
You're right.
Why did it occur in New York? Well, it had everything to do with the central banks and the UN and the secret control of this gold. The UN is a major player in this.
Mm.
And through the United Nations Office of International Treasury Control, anyone can go online and look up unoitc.org, and you will land on a website run by the UN where they describe an individual that lives in Cambodia who was somehow given a doctorate degree at the age of 16 and then given control of the world's gold wealth, the world's gold deposits. One man. And he was given a dispensation to set up his own central bank, which he did in various cities under the jurisdiction or the management of the UNOITC. New World Trust is such a company that works with that. And they're located in various cities. They're running much of Chicago, we know there's court corruption in Cook County, Chicago, in the child protective services, in divorce court, in bankruptcy court, in real estate, and they're laundering the money. This is the money that's being laundered through Maricopa County, Arizona. It's bounced to accounts in Utah and back to Arizona. It's got an international component to it. Our administration is involved in it. And they know. This is why these wars are being started, to divert attention away from what's going on. This is why Hillary Clinton had a gunman go into her campaign headquarters in New Hampshire, and why when the president was in Oklahoma or in Omaha, Nebraska, why they had to have a mall shooting. Just to divert attention from what's really going on, to create fear, to create this chaos, to push us towards gun control and martial law, while they steal trillions of dollars. Now, Hillary, when the news comes out, like it should, and it will come out, I promise you that she's on film taking $742 billion from the bank Crozier in Grenada. And they had this on film. Conveniently, someone shut the cameras, the closed-circuit cameras, in the bank off while she was there. They didn't document it from inside the bank, but they have the paperwork. She also stole a $5 trillion. She and her husband, Bill, stole a $5 trillion contract that Ambassador Leo Wanta had worked out with the UN. And this was on-the-books type of social programs that he was going to develop. Things like replacing the limbs of the soldiers who have been fighting in Afghanistan and in Iraq. giving them a prosthesis so that they can go out and find a job or eat or dress themselves or play with their children. So, you know, we have these insane scripts being played out behind the scenes, and the media doesn't report it. The media has shared in the loot to guarantee their silence, and so has the Congress and the Senate. Numerous names appear with the documents.
Yes.
So this is not conjecture, and this is not a conspiracy theory. This is not theory whatsoever. This is the real deal. In fact, the very use of the term conspiracy theory inflames me to the point where I have to say, that's the conspiracy theory right there, the use of the word.
Well, yes, see? I just a little quick aside. Fritz Springmeier, who's currently in prison, having been railroaded there under a trumped-up false allegation charge involving bank robbery, a couple of government plants who were put onto him, turned testimony against them. That was their job from the beginning. Anyway, Fritz Springmeier wrote some remarkable books and used to be very effective on the lecture circuit. I have a video presentation that he did at the Granada Forum, which is here in California, in 1998, talking about the Illuminati and mind control. And in the early part of his talk, I recall him saying very clearly that the CIA has a term for expressions which are used to truncate and short-circuit your thinking. He said the CIA calls them slides. And no word can fit that description more than conspiracy theorist or conspiracy theory. This word is employed as a slide repeatedly by those in the government who are part of the network attempting to bring forward the New World Order. They'll use that repeatedly to dismiss, marginalize, and otherwise ridicule anyone who is bringing out the truth regarding the bona fide conspiracy that's taking place. It's a slide. It's an intentional device that's used over and over again for the reasons I just said. The idea is to ridicule the opposition and to make them appear foolish. They use the same scenario or the same methodology repeatedly.
Yes, and it implies that the person that's making the original charge is somehow paranoid or delusional. Would you agree on that? Well, I'm not hearing Ken now, so I'll go on.
I'm here.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah, I had no idea what happened, but we're back.
You disappeared. Well, they don't like what we're saying, evidently, so let's keep saying it. let's keep saying it. This is a valid point that you're making now. Now, Fritz, how long has Fritz Springmeier been in jail? I wasn't aware of that.
He was, I think he was convicted, I'm guessing at this point, I think somewhere around 2003, if I recall. This might be his fourth year. He was sentenced to 11 years. And that is his railroading, his trumped-up conviction, is a story in and of itself. But Fritz was so adept at getting out the truth about the New World Order and the methodology they're using that they obviously focused on him. They needed to take him out of action, and they did. He co-authored, first he wrote a number of books on his own, forewarning of the deception or the devices, deceptive devices being used, especially by the Christian evangelical groups to deceive their members, to essentially do the bidding of the New World Order. But he was also involved in working with victims of mind control. And he met a woman who's a very high-level individual in the Illuminati hierarchy, who herself was a victim of mind control, as almost all family members of Illuminati families are subjected to.
And you're going to say that that's Cisco Wheeler, right?
I'm talking about Cisco Wheeler, whose father programmed her, but her father also worked very closely for many, many years with Joseph Mengele, the Nazi doctor of Auschwitz fame, who was secreted into the U.S. following World War II, and played a very large role in continuing work that was started in the concentrations during World War II and refined it to a very high degree. I'm talking about mind control programming. And the version of mind control employed by Mengele and the CIA in the 40s, 50s, and 60s is what is known as trauma-based mind control. They have today, there is a more refined and more sophisticated version that uses an electronic means to program an individual so they don't have to be subjected to the years and years and years of traumatization in order to achieve their desired goals. But nevertheless, Cisco Wheeler was eventually able to break out of her mind control to the extent that she recovered her memories. A natural phenomena that takes place, particularly with an individual who has been mind controlled, they usually start from babyhood forward to create a mind-controlled slave. After 25, 30, or 35 years, there is a natural desire on the part of the person who's been subjected to this, the mind, the spirit, the subconscious mind, I should say, wants to release this information to the conscious mind. It can't stay bottled up forever, because what occurred to these virtually millions of people who've been subjected to trauma-based mind control is they've had in horrendous pain and suffering and torment inflicted upon them. And those events are buried in their subconscious mind. So the human vehicle wants to free itself of these. And in 25 or 30 or 35 years, the memories start coming forward in flashes. It's never a continuous stream, but it's a series of unconnected flashes of horrific events. And this is how it started with Cisco. Now, she didn't know she was a mind control victim. She didn't know that she functioned as a programmer. When you're under mind control, you're used for various things, and you, the victim, do not know what those things are in your conscious mind.
Yeah, Ken, let me interrupt you quickly. We just got a message from a caller who left this with our engineer, said that Fritz died in prison.
I didn't know that. I had no word of that.
I think that's Marianne in Arkansas. Marianne, how are you? I should have given her a shout-out earlier, too. She's a real warrior.
All right. Well, what I would say is this. I did have somebody email me. This might not be accurate. I'll tell you why. I had someone email me maybe a month ago, and there was some individual that had a show. Now, whether it's a radio show or it seems to me it might have been maybe a website. And I think it was sort of a Christian fundamentalist type website. And they were reporting that Fritz had died. And I had a lady email me and ask me, I said, I haven't heard a word of that. I thought if that was true, it would be big news. It would be on the main alternative media websites like Jeff Wren. So what I did is I called up Cisco Wheeler to check with her, and she says, no way, Fritz is fine.
Well, maybe
now, that was about a month ago. So
yeah,
I would
could be disinformation then.
I would be very, I'd be very leery that that is true, because I think maybe this gal is picking up information that the person who emailed me, the same source, there was some group or someone with a website was putting that out, and he may have been, he may not be aware that Fritz, he may, he may be on the receiving end of the disinformation, but he hasn't checked out of, because I called Cisco Wheeler the same night I got that, because I needed to find that out. So well, I would doubt that at this point.
Yeah, it makes
I would
sense
doubt
when,
that.
When Leo Wanta was incarcerated, the CIA was putting the word out to all the banks and on the international circuit that he was dead. And of course, that turned out to be a lie when he came out and sued for the money with the intention of having that money repatriated on the books into our treasury. So he was trying to undo the corruption when he came out.
Right.
So it has been nothing but disinformation to try to discredit him. The problem they have is he has all the bank records, and he's made the bank records public.
I see.
This is the heist of the... not the century, but not the millennium, but the world history, okay? The history of the world. This is the biggest bank heist going on right now. And it's the real reason for our economy being the way it is. I don't mean to harp on Wantagate, but I'm just telling you that all these superfluous side issues that we're dealing with, these tendrils that are sprouting out of the trunk, so to speak, are nothing more than side lights and smoke screens to just try to obfuscate the truth. Now, you mentioned some solutions, you know, you mentioned voting. What if voting was not the ultimate answer? I mean, not under these conditions.
I wanted to say voting because I didn't want it to be dismissed. There is a certain percentage of people who recognize the agenda of the New World Order to destroy the U.S., who there's a certain percentage of people who are, because they will say, well, voting is rigged, it doesn't matter. That's not a productive way to think. Now, yes, I know electronic voting is rigged. We know that. The idea is to get enough people to know that so that they will insist on a paper ballot. There have been counties and states in some cases that have signed legislation to insist on a paper ballot. So it's not like it can't be done. Yeah, there's a lot of states that are totally controlled or, you know, deeply in the pockets of the Illuminati, so it would be hard to turn that around. And California is one of them, and Florida is another one, and Texas is another one, I suppose. But it's not like it can't be done. It can be. If enough people wake up, even in California, even in Florida, and yelled loud enough, you could get a paper ballot in place of any and all electronic machines. A paper, hard count paper ballot. So, no, I believe in voting. I am not of the school of let's start over again. There is also a percentage of people who recognize the New World Order agenda and think that the way to solve the problem is kind of have another American Revolution. People use that very term, the second American Revolution. It sounds good, but let me tell you, if we were to have a French Revolution-style turmoil, or even an American Revolution-style turmoil again, we're going to lose. There's nothing that the Illuminati would want us more than to buy into that story, because they just love revolutions, because that's how they install their guys. That's why we had the Bolshevik Revolution. That's why we had the French Revolution, 1888. These are Illuminati-inspired, scripted events, because then they take control when you have a revolution, because you have complete chaos, and that's the feel they want. That's why they're creating so much chaos in Iraq, and they want to create it in Iran and Lebanon and Syria. Chaos is their game, because they get to install their guys, their rules, and their controls when they create chaos. We have the Constitution intact in this country. We have the tradition of rule of law. We cannot forfeit that. And mature thinking people know this is so. You do not throw away this precious, organized system of government which guarantees the rule of law. You do not throw that away, because we won't get it back. You can
I'm
be
not
sure of that.
At all so, suggesting no, I, or implying that that's what we do. What I'm saying is that, you know, where did this concept of electronic voting come in? How did they sneak that in? I mean, we had paper ballots.
Well, I remember very well how that came in. Naturally, the Bush regime had everything to do with pushing that one in because their pal, Diebold, heavy campaign contributors, there's this revolving door between politicians and big corporations, and Diebold was a rising company. I remember very well when that first electronic stuff started. It was, it seems to me, it was it the, no, I don't think we even had it towards the end of Clinton's era. I believe it started with Bush.
The 2000 election was the hanging chads. That was the
hanging chad, right. Now, that, of course, was not electronic. That was a type of mechanical voting machine in which there was a card, a voting card that had punched out, or supposed to have punched out holes in it that indicated, you know, the individuals you voted for and the propositions you voted on. And because some of those little, I guess they're squares, or rectangular shaped pieces of thin cardboard, did not completely separate from the cardboard. They were therefore hanging, and they tried to make the case that because they were hanging, the mechanical detection equipment, which detects the hole, was being deceived because some of these chads would get stuck in the machine in such a way that it would register it as not being punched. That's the scenario they tried to paint. Now, I don't think they ever proved that caused any election results to be skewed. I don't think that was proved at all. They simply postured that as the case for the reason for throwing out all of those thousands and thousands of votes based on this very flimsy excuse of, quote, hanging chads.
Well, we also
that was not electronic, though.
Yeah, well, they had this so-called database of people who were ineligible to vote, and
right.
It happened to be all blacks.
Yeah, they happened to be all black, and they accused people of being felons who were not felons, so they denied them the vote. Yeah, it was many thousands of people.
Experience. In California, 1988, I voted in an election, presidential election, and I did not vote Republican, and I did not vote Democrat. And yet I received a thank you note from the Republican Party for voting for Bush, you know.
I see.
And of course, I was furious about that. But, you know, you bring that up and you make a note of that and you inform the public they really don't care. People really, they were just apathetic to the fact that that went on. But I had that happen to me personally.
Okay, so you had firsthand evidence of voter fraud.
And there were no hanging chads. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I distinctly voted for a third candidate, and I received a thank you card for having voted for Bush.
I see. So apparently, whether you liked it or not, you voted for Bush that year.
Yeah. Now, that's a paper ballot. So, yes. You know, you have to have the vote filmed. You know, the count has to be filmed.
Yep.
And it's got to be documented. We've seen recent videos on the internet, and we're running short on time here, so I want to just throw this out there too. This is going on in real time. You can go onto YouTube, and I'm going to be posting this on my website, directlightproductions.com. You can go and see people who are making as many as 80 votes. They're given 80 tickets, and they make 80 votes for Mitt Romney in these straw polls that are taking place. And on film, the guy's looking up at the cameraman. He's looking around to see if anybody's watching, and he's standing there for 10, 15 minutes punching all these tickets in there, casting the vote.
See.
Now, if that's not corruption, I don't know what it is.
Yes.
And you can't blame that on Mitt Romney, but you have to blame it on whomever gave the individual the 80 tickets.
Yes.
And there's some with 20, there's some with 30. You see them put a stack of tickets down on the table, and they give them the ballot. You know,
yes.
It's mind-boggling that this is even on film and on YouTube, and no one is making hay out of it.
Well, I'm glad you told me about it. I'll search it out, and I'll put it up on my site.
Yes, I want to give your site out, or would you give your website address out to the listeners so they can go visit your wonderful articles and research?
Oh, thank you. Okay, my website is educate-yourself.org. So educate dash or a hyphen, followed by the word yourself, educate-yourself.org. I'll just like to take the last couple of minutes. I know we're just about out of time. I thought I could launch into this idea earlier in our talk, but time always flies whenever we talk, Don. I'd like to make just a couple, three statements and not even go into detail because we don't have the time. I just want to state categorically that there are many articles, maybe 70 to 80, 90 articles on my website about the global warming hoax. We are now beginning to be subjected to many changes that are being touted in the mainstream media, as even in much of the alternative media, that are we are being led to believe that we have to support certain changes because of the, quote, crisis of global warming. We will pay through the nose for those changes. This is what you must bear in mind. Everything they're proposing, restrictions, changing admission standards, this and that and the other thing, you, the customer, will pay for it. Okay. Global warming is a hoax from top to bottom. I have more articles than you have the time to read on my website rebutting every nuance of the global warming hoax story. The mainstream media and much of the alternative media, such as KPFK, want to pretend that global warming is an established scientific fact. It is an established scientific hoax. They're using this completely fabricated crisis to further consolidate their power and have us pay the bills for it. Number two, peak oil is equally a hoaxed story. There is more oil on this earth than we can use for the next 1,000 years, let alone the next 50 or 100 years. There is an island in Prudhoe Bay, Alaska, called Gull Island. A man named Lindsay Williams was working with the oil companies for 3 years while they built the Alaska pipeline from 1970 to 73. When he was there, he found out that this largest deposit of oil known to man was discovered under Gull Island. That's just one. There are unreported large oil reserves in the bay in the Vietnam. During the Vietnam War, discoveries were made in the Delta region that turned up huge, huge deposits of oil. So peak oil is working hand in glove with the global warming scam to make us think that shortages are imminent and that we're going to have to pay a lot more for gasoline or heating oil, et cetera, because we're running out of it, and therefore the supply is dwindling, therefore the price must go up. It's a hoax. The third thing I want to mention, and it's only 1 minute left, is we have to stop the use of taser guns in this country. Visit a section that's called Taser Police and Tasers and read the horrendous stories. There's over 307 people who've been murdered with taser guns by police. We have to stop this torture and murder of people who in almost all cases have committed no crime or were doing something relatively innocuous, was stopped by police, winds up getting tasered to death because Officer Rambo didn't get a rapid enough compliance from the person he was talking to. And I guess that's all we have time for tonight, Don.
Well, Ken, those are very well taken points, and we will discuss those in future shows. I know you're going to be back again soon, and I want to thank you for coming on to Evident Footprints tonight to bare your soul and share the wealth of information that you have, not just in your mind and your heart, but also on your website, educate-yourself.org. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you.
And I want to thank the listeners out there, especially Marianne. Shout out to Sheila, Bob, and Bill, David, Zachariah, and Crenshaw, and Jill, and the General, all the folks with Project Alliance. Thank you very much for your support. Tomorrow night, Jim Murray will be with us, so be sure to be here. It's going to be a celebration. Have a good night, everyone. Peace, love, and light, and God bless America.